Okay, the subject of leadership. Right from the screen. Colin Powell said, leadership is all about people. It's not about organizations. It's not about plans. It's not about strategies. It's all about people, motivating people to get the job done. You have to be people-centered. We've all known people who have been in leadership that lack part of these qualifications. They were not people-centered. But as we look at leadership, we're going to look at leadership a couple of ways. Part of it is church leadership. Part of it is home leadership. And then part of it's how the two tie together. Because you look at the qualifications for elders and deacons, part of it is good parenting. You know, having your home under control. Leadership qualities. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth good work. It was said this morning that we need to get back to where we've got elders in churches. At Antioch, we don't have elders. We've had elders in the past, but at the present time, we don't have elders. But if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Goes to Danny's talk. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So part of his leadership qualities, he's got to have good behavior. You know, we can't go out in public and make a fool of ourselves if we want to be an elder. Then again, part of being a good Christian is not going out and making a fool of ourselves. Given to hospitality. Christ tells us, and I don't remember exactly where it was, I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to drink, or anything to eat. I was thirsty, you wouldn't give me something to drink. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And part of the qualities of leadership is to be given to hospitality, apt to teach. And I think it was Tony said, not everybody can teach. And not everybody can lead singing. And we have gone to the point in the past where we have pushed young people away because of, I won't say it's because of bad leadership. Because we try to push people too fast. If we try to push people too fast, then what they want to do, they want to hit the door as fast as they can. And maybe they weren't bad leaders. But it's just trying to push people before they're ready. I remember my first talk. I remember getting up to sing, and I remember what number I sang. I don't remember how old I was when I gave my first talk. I hadn't shut up since. But, you know, being able to sing. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. One of the qualifications of a good leader is patience. Because with patience, you know, that's one of those things that we're told to add over in 2 Peter 1. You know, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience. Patience is one of those strong things in being a good leader. Not a brawler, but and not covetous. One that ruleth his own house well, or ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection, with all gravity. We see how the qualifications of bishop or elder and being a good father goes hand in hand. You're a good leader in both your home and in the church. Having your children in subjection. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? We've got to be able to control our own house. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation, fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, must deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so, their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well, for they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase themselves a good degree in great boldness and faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We look at the leaders of the world, and we can look at these qualifications. I think this is excellent qualifications, not for just a leader in a church, but leaders anywhere. The husband of one wife, not greedy of filthy lucre, patient, not a brawler, and not covetous, one that rules his own house well. So the Bible shows us the qualifications and gives us leadership qualities that can stand above any book that man can produce as far as, you know, what qualities does a leader need to have? And different companies have different ideas. But in the church, we've got our ideas. What makes a good leader? And Timothy here writes about it. In Titus 2:2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. It gives the qualifications as far as women leaders. And as we go through this, we're going to see how, yes, women can be leaders, but just not leaders in the church. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. This gives a good example of aged men, women, and youth. what it takes to be a good leader. Titus 1 and 6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. We're told that we are to be ready to give an answer to every man about that hope that is within us. We think about the different ideas. Can we tell people why we partake of the Lord's Supper every week? Can we tell them why we believe the way we do about the marriage? Can we tell them about the other topics? You know, why baptism is important? Good leaders, both male and female, can do this. Examples of leaders. Who's one of the best examples of leadership? Of course, Abraham. Abraham, we remember a lot because of his reaction to God and what he showed when he showed God his faith. When God tells him to take Isaac up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice, and of course God stayed his hand. But how about all the many times that God told Abraham, you get up and you go over here? What did Abraham do? As a good leader, he was also a good follower of what he was told to do. Because ultimately, good leaders have somebody above them. And we all have God above us to be our supreme leader. But God told him to get up and go, and he took his family and he went. Abraham was... Him and Lot had amassed a great fortune. As they amassed this great fortune, it got to where they couldn't live together anymore. And they had to split up. A good leader makes the right choices for his family. And sometimes we have to make a decision. Yeah. Do we go to this church or this church? Do we go here or there? At some point, we're all faced with that. And if Tony moved his family to Alabama, and it was for church reasons. I guess 25 years or so ago, we left, or 20... Abraham in 27. We left one congregation and went back home. And it was because the church needed help. Ronnie has changed from his original home congregation to one where he is now an elder. And there's different examples around the room of people who have shown good leadership and have used their qualities as a leader. Dan went out in the middle of nowhere and established a congregation. And to me, I'm sorry, Dan, but Alberton's about the middle of nowhere. But that's leadership. him, not just for the church, but his family's also down there. And it's a good environment for the kids and the grandkids. Abraham made choices. He chose the land of Canaan rather than the valley where the land's so fertile and beautiful. Then he had to show leadership again for his family as he goes down in that valley and has to get his nephew out. He had to go get Lot out because Lot ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Very wicked city. And he had to go. He stood there as the city was destroyed. But he had to go warn the people. Good leadership. There's a lot could be said about Abraham, but in the New Testament, it's even where the Jews call him Father Abraham. Andrew Carnegie said, "No man will make a great leader who wants to do it all himself or to get all the credit for doing it." That makes a lot of sense. It's all about, as leaders, us putting the responsibility out to others. You share the responsibilities. Even with these meetings here, we share responsibilities. In church, we share responsibilities. We can't do it all ourselves. And it's not about getting credit. It's not about that pat on the back. It's about doing what's right. A good leader, it says, no man will make a great leader who wants to do it all himself or get all the credit. And you've seen people who have wanted to be leaders, and somebody else does it and they take the credit. It's not about the credit. For us as Christians, it's about making it happen. Joshua says that if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. We've studied a lot the last several months in our afternoon service on Sunday afternoon, the Old Testament. And we've studied in Judges, and we've studied Joshua. Now we're in Samuel, 1 Samuel. These people were wicked people. They continuously, they got a judge. He dies. They go back and worship their idols. And Joshua sees all the stuff that goes on. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As parents, we've got to make a decision who we're going to serve. Are we going to let things of the world rule us? Or are we going to make the decision? This Joshua, he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was a good leader. Joshua was one of the two men that went and searched out the promised land. They came back and said, we can take it. He had confidence. A good leader is also confident. And let's throw that one in there. Because a good leader is confident. And when you got God on your side, yeah, what else are you going to do? You got to have the confidence. Joshua had the confidence. These other 10 spies come back. You know, we can't do it. They're just too big and too strong. I'm sorry. We look at the scripture, God before us, who can be against us? Joshua had that attitude, and it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. John Maxwell, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. A good leader, it doesn't matter how much you know, doesn't matter how smart you are, don't matter how many college degrees you got, it all boils down how much you care. We've got to be able to show that we care. Who best exemplifies this quote? Of course, Jesus. Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. Nothing that he could call his own. You know, he didn't have a big fine house. They didn't have cars back then, but he didn't have, you know, any great big form of transportation. But as we look at this, he best exemplifies the quote. Mark 6:34, and when he came out and saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. I remember reading about Christ when he was 12. Yeah, you go over in Luke and he comes up missing and he's showing his leadership skills when he's 12 years old. He's sitting there among doctors and lawyers and whoever and asking them questions and answering questions. And we've seen kids that are considered the brightest of the bright or whatever, and they're in college when they're 12 or 15. And it happens. You know, sometimes I think it's silly. I think they need to grow up. But nonetheless, and think about Christ. As mama comes looking for him, you know, we've been worried about you. And he says, you know, I must be about my father's business. Leadership. Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue now with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. They're hungry. They've been with me 3 days and they have not eaten. He showed leadership. He provided food. How about the father of the prodigal son? We've talked a lot about the prodigal son in my time. In Luke 15:11, and it said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and it began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? This young man, you know, went out, spent basically his inheritance, came to the realization that he would have been better off with daddy. I will arise and go to my father and say, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We look at the father's leadership skills. One of the good, you know, very important leadership skills is forgiveness. If we don't talk, or maybe we don't at home talk as much about forgiveness, but you know, that's important. Us being willing to say, okay, that's in the past. You've repented. You're forgiven. End of discussion. Okay, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The forgiveness, the willing to take back that son that was living a riotous living. And you can't apply this to the gospel, because sometimes we're in the same shape that the prodigal son was. We're out and we've done something wrong, and we come back to the father and ask him to forgive us. How does the father in this example show leadership? And I've already answered that. Can women be leaders? Trust is the essence of leadership. Well, remember the story of Ruth and Naomi. It's hard to talk about women without talking about the two. Naomi and her husband Elimelech choose to leave where they were because of, I think, a famine in the land. And they go down among the Moabs, and then Elimelech dies. And you know, the two sons married two Moabitess women, which was Orpah and Ruth. And then the two sons died. You know, like 10 years later, they died. And there's these two women with their mother-in-law. Being the leader of the family at this time, Naomi said, you know, you two, you go back to your families. And both of them refused. Then Orpah decided, yes, I'll go back to my family. But Ruth stood by her mother-in-law. Then we go to Ruth 3:1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now as it is not Boaz of our kindred, whose maidens thou wast, behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she's guiding her daughter-in-law. And of course Ruth goes in. She ends up marrying Boaz and is one of the two women of non-Jewish persuasion that are in the lineage of Christ. And how about Mary? In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. You know, he felt like it was a little bit more time before he needed to do these things. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 perskins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning that set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. But part of this was the urging of Mary. As she told the people, you do what he tells you to do. And that is our discussion on leadership. To be a good leader, and being a good listener, being patient, following the examples of the Bible about leadership.